In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I think that Jesus has a way of catching these people off guard in today's, what I would call a parable. I was sick and you visited me, hungry, you gave me food to eat. When were you hungry? When did I give you food? When did I visit you in prison? Whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. And I wonder how you and I would fare. On Friday, my family and I took part in a ritual for children in the Northside neighborhood at an organization called Happen. Santa always comes to visit, even before Advent, after Thanksgiving. We arrived during a lull in visits, so our children got to go right up and chat with Santa. And they shared their Christmas lists, and Santa asked them if they'd been good. And because the next family hadn't finished their registration, my husband and I had a chance to chat with Santa, too. And Santa asked Robert and I what we wanted for Christmas. And I thought about it, and I said, well, I think I'd like to have a new pair of wool socks. And Robert said, I don't really have a Christmas list. And Santa looked at us with a twinkle in his eye and said, why not ask for peace on earth? And just like that, Santa turned our Christmas wishes upside down. Well, today is the last day in our liturgical year before we begin anew in the season of Advent. And it all culminates around this concept of Christ's reign, what it will entail, what it does entail. And Jesus says, come, inherit my kingdom. And we're reminded of what this reign of Christ, what this kingdom looks like, where the poor in spirit and the persecuted are the blessed ones. And Jesus tells us that when we seek and serve the wretched, and we face with compassion the horrors of this world, we seek and serve and face Him. This is a kingdom that is upside down, and it continually comes as a surprise. N.T. Wright wrote a book called How God Became King, and in it he wrote, the Gospels offer us not so much a different kind of human, but a different kind of God. A God who, having made humans in his own image, will most naturally express himself in and as that image-bearing creature. A God who, having made Israel to share and bear the pain and horror of the world, will most naturally express himself in and as that pain-bearing, horror-facing creature. This is perhaps the most difficult thing for us to keep in mind, though the Gospels are inviting us to do so on every page. End quote. The Gospels invite us to face the world as pain-bearing and horror-facing creatures created in Christ, God's image. The people who knew Jesus expected a different kind of king. They who lived in Rome, they'd been taught about the Pax Romana with the expectation that peace would come through military success, and an exploitation of the poor was just a byproduct of peace. They would not have been surprised to hear, as my sermon writing partner Jason Emerson stated this week, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for you have marched over the whole world and conquered all in your path. You have dominated your enemies and crushed your oppression. You have enshrined the rich and subjugated the poor. You have brought peace through victory. Just like what my husband and I expected our own children to expect of Santa Claus. Give the man a list of what you want, and he'll deliver. We've heard these past few weeks what I would say is a set of what I would call parables of doom. Others would too. Today's included, that allude to or directly point to the reality of hell. And what about the hell and final judgment that's proclaimed in today's gospel? In the very last sentence of his chapter, Hell, in his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis put it this way. This chapter is not about your wife or your son, nor about Nero or Judas Iscariot. It is about you and me. Today's gospel invites us to denounce hell and to choose Christ's reign with every step we take within and beyond these walls. And Jesus tells us again and again that we find the kingdom of God in the places, not that we expect, but the places we've been taught to run from and to avoid. So there's a member of this church who's been practicing looking for the face of God in every person he encounters. It started as a Lenten discipline, and it's become a way of life. And instead of walking by or even avoiding people who cross his path, he has made it his practice to intentionally look for God in everyone. And he reports that it has been wondrous, challenging, and life-changing. It reminds me of a man I prepared for baptism years ago, and I share his story again with permission. Marco worked for the narcotics unit of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Having dealt with the Falcons, the hitmen, and the lords of drug cartels on a regular basis, he came to my office having clear bodily signs of having experienced trauma and horror. He was constantly on guard for danger, even as he sat in the church office. And so we were going through our baptismal covenant, where the priest asks, "Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?" We respond, "I will, with God's help." I prepare many parents who are baptizing their children, and when we really look at this question, "Will you seek Christ in all persons?" I ask them to call to mind someone they hate the most. And then I remind them that the baptismal covenant calls them and their children not just to seek and serve, not just to seek, but also to serve Christ in the person they hate the most. And some have said, "I don't know if I can do that." And then usually we get to, "with God's help." Marco, when he saw this question, got really nervous. And he said, "I look evil in the face every day in my work. And I don't know if I believe that Christ actually is in these people. I'm going to have to go and think about if I can actually respond to this question honestly." And he did. He wrestled with it for weeks. He told me he finally asked for God's help. And he decided he would be baptized because of that part of the response. And Marco came back to my office after his baptism day. And he said, "This question in the baptismal covenant has changed my whole life. with God's help, I can seek and serve Christ, even in the emptiest and most evil of people. Christ is there and is real. And I have to believe it's underneath all the layers of evil that aren't who these people really are. I am seeking him. I am serving him. And that's changed everything. What would happen if we started to seek and serve Christ in the people and places we hated the most? I dare claim that if we fail to seek and serve Christ in one another, we participate not only in the oppression of one another, but we participate in hell. And if my freedom requires the oppression of others, then I've mistaken freedom for subjugation. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, quote, "Your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, all evil, all lies, to all oppression and violation of the weak and the poor." So as we wrap up our year in the Gospel of Matthew, it's important on this day that we hail Christ as King to remember what Jesus said in the very beginning about the kingdom. In the 3rd chapter of Matthew, repent! You're going to hear it a lot in the next few weeks too. Repent! Change your old way of thinking, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. What if it's we who wait for a king who already reigns? Wait for a kingdom we're already in. Wait to become who we already are. Wait for an age that has already come. Wait for an age that is a victory that's already been won. Wait to do what we already should be doing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. And heaven, or hell, is in our next actions and thoughts. In the name of the surprising King who turns the world upside down and promises to turn us upside down, or perhaps right side up. Amen.